Welcome to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show is brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you, as always. And Bill, you said it right as you walked into the studio this morning. My friend, we have much to discuss. It's a very heavy week.
War Eagle, and happy Thursday. Yes, we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot here to unpack, not only in the football, but also in the basketball.
Yes, absolutely. When it comes to basketball season, it's been another decent week for Auburn. They're off to a decent start. But I want to say most recently what happened was last night, you were starting at what, around... It was NC State. You had a good season or they've had a good start to their season so far, and you kind of took care of business against the Wolfpack. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is. Ooh, there we go. yes, sir. That is. It was. We were only a 5.5-point favorite last night, and we turned the ball over like 13 or 14 times in the first half.
Yeah, that's a bit rough.
Yeah, and that's what you and I were talking about. You know, you convert half of those into offensive points. You know, we left 12-14 points out there, but we were still ahead of them at the half, and we ended up winning by 10. So we covered the spread, 83-73. It was a fun game to watch.
Yeah.
You know, we're starting to get used to the new names on the team that obviously weren't there last season, other than Pettiford. But Keyshawn Hall and Murphy, man, they lit the scoreboard up, as well as Pettiford. You know, they were Keyshawn Hall had double digit rebounds. He had 28 points and he had one assist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's got a double double. He's kind of taken over that spot that Janiah Broome had last year.
Yeah.
He's not the freakish athlete that Janiah Broome was.
No.
But you know what? It's plug and play with this system, and it's still a Pearl system, even though it's Steven. It looks almost identical to what his dad did, which only makes sense. But, you know, they've recruited the right people. They've brought in, you know, players from other teams that have a lot of playing time from last year. And they've plugged these holes that we knew we were going to have at the end of last season. And it looks like it's working out pretty well. I think if we can clean up the mistakes, the turnovers and the sloppy ball passing, and keep the rate of made shots as high as it was, I want to say we were like 60-something percent from the field. Mm-hmm. And we were over 70% from the free throw line, which is an improvement. You know, if we can keep those kind of things going and clean up the defensive mistakes and not turn the ball over, it's going to be a really, really good season.
Yeah, if you have a lot of self-inflicted mistakes when it comes to the turnovers or when it comes to the flawed free throw shooting, because that's stuff that is just simply, you know, I give credit to good defenses. I give credit if you're playing like a good crowd somewhere. But at the end of the day, that stuff is completely in your control if you're doing it well or if you're not. So it's good to iron out those details in games like these, especially when you're still in control of the games in question for the bulk of them. And when it comes to Pettiford, yeah, he is kind of taking a broom role as far as he can play both sides of the ball. He's obviously a headlining star on the team, a big name that we knew was going to shine coming into the year. But when you put him in a variety of situations and he can pop like that, it's very reassuring because it tells you, as if we didn't already know, you got a clear leader coming into the bulk of this season.
Yeah, well, another pleasant surprise was Overton. You know, he's had a good season so far, you know, with a small game sample that we already have from the beginning of the year.
Right.
But he had a breakout game last night. He scored 29 points and had 9 rebounds and 1 assist, and I think he made 6 three-pointers in a row.
Wow.
You know,
and
they were step backs. So, you know, he had his defender on him, and he just took a step back and threw it over the defense.
It's always impressive to see them create separation with ease like that.
You know, I hope it's not a cyclic kind of thing, you know, where you got one game where you're hot and then the next game you can't hit the backboard if you tried, you know. But it was nice to see the offensive production and, again, just got to clean up the mistakes.
Yeah, there's a lot to work on when it comes to Auburn. They're a good team. They're not great yet, but we don't need them to be great yet. You've had a decent start. The really only huge dip you had was that Michigan game that we talked about last week. Really bizarre that the game got so out of hand, but Michigan's proving that they are a top dog program right now. So I guess, you know, just more love to them. That's where basketball is sitting. We wanted to go ahead and address that because there's a lot with football that's going on here. And one of those situations is the Iron Bowl. This is a loaded subject matter, of course. We knew it was going to be. It always is. But just 27-20 loss in Jordan-Hare. Bill, what are you thinking?
Well, you know what? I saw the performance on the field, and it was pretty much what I expected it to be before the game. I told you that last week when we left this program was I actually felt really, really good about this Iron Bowl. Mm-hmm. I felt like we're not going to be run out of town. It's not going to be a runaway game either direction. We're going to have a quality defense on the field, which we've had all year, and we're going to see some offensive production. And we did. This is, I think, the only game that we've had this season where Auburn was behind in the turnover margin. And I think that made the difference in the game.
Oh, absolutely, you know? Especially in a one-score game. Yeah.
Yeah, we threw an interception, and it really wasn't a bad pass. It hit the player right in the chest, and it bounced straight up in the air, and the defender caught it. You know,
right place, right time.
Yeah, and we were driving. You know, it was on a possession where we were actually gaining yards, moving the sticks, and that's a momentum killer. If you look at it statistically, if you just look at Auburn statistics, you know, Daniels was 18 of 39 for 259 yards and one touchdown. Mm-hmm. And he also had the interception. He had 23 rushes for 108 yards. Cobb had 10 rushes for 33 yards. Singleton and Simmons and Coleman, all three had big receiving games. Coleman caught 5 passes. Malcolm Simmons is the only receiver to have the touchdown. But we were moving the ball, and we were spreading it around because Ashton was throwing the ball to whoever. You know, he was going through his progressions, and he was finding the open receiver, and he was hitting them.
Right.
It wasn't a lack of production. It was just a lack of scoring. You know, you got to give it to McPherson. He was – every field goal opportunity he had, he made.
Yeah, he was perfect.
Yeah, he was really good. And he made some long ones, which, you know, was kind of unexpected because we weren't sure if he had all of his strength back. Well, I think that question got answered. it was a solid performance other than the mistakes.
Yeah.
That's been the, you know, we've been saying that all year long. That's been the killer for this team, as well as the scheme until, you know, the coaching change was making mistakes. And a lot of them were self-inflicted. Some of them are just, you know, by chance. You know, that interception was just the ball could have easily gone straight to the ground instead of straight up in the air. You know, that was a fluke. And then the fumble late when, you know, we were trying to mount something of a miracle comeback. You know, mm-hmm. There's been miracles happen in that stadium, especially 2013. And, you know, we were trying to reignite some of that magic, and it just didn't work.
It was shaping up that way when Alabama gets out to a 17-0 lead. I saw that, and I'm thinking, oh no, I hope this game doesn't get out of hand. And it didn't. It just came down to your point, Bill, a couple of mistakes, one of which wasn't even your fault with that interception. We know that this is a rivalry that can come down to special teams, miraculous finishes, like you said. So it's upsetting. I'm glad you were competitive. I'm glad you gave it your all. Obviously, we expected you to win, but you know, we'll take the competitiveness. At least it's an optimistic sign.
Well, you look at it on paper, and you would, if you didn't know the score, you would say it kind of looks like Auburn won because our quarterback was 18 of 39 for 259 yards. Their quarterback was 19 of 35 for 122 yards. Who had the better quarterback? You know, they played mistake free.
Yes.
All right, so I got to give it to them. They beat us in the turnover margin, and they played mistake-free.
And Ty Simpson, especially when it comes to those turnovers, he knew, I can't make any more mistakes here after the past couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was he came in here with a big question mark about, you know, his turnover margin for him throwing interceptions. So, you know, he and it caused him to hold on to the ball. We ended up, you know, tackling him in the backfield a couple of times, you know, because he had nobody to throw the ball to.
Right.
But you also look at our defense. Xavier Atkins had two tackles, they were both sacks. And Harris had one tackle that was a sack. So we sacked Ty Simpson three times, which is, I think it was him focusing on not putting himself in a position to turn the ball over, which caused him to, you know, stay in the backfield a little too long, and he got tackled. There was one tackle that we made on him late in the game that they called the roughing the passer.
Mm, and, I saw that.
You know, the defender, first off, he was committed. There was no way
for him
to stop.
Yeah.
He could not stop or readjust his trajectory or anything. He was going to impact the quarterback. And they were, what, a foot apart when the ball came out of his hand? So, I mean, you know, I got to – it's not sour grapes. It's just, you know, that just seems to be par for the course for us this year. you know, I feel like we kept getting bad calls, and that was the only one I saw in that game that to me was really a bad call.
Well, because they show the replay, and if you didn't catch the play, what it shows is he's falling to the ground, and then he does grab Simpson's leg as he's falling, but he's already falling. He's going to make contact with his leg no matter what. Would you prefer he just hit it with his helmet? I mean, right on the shin? He's going to make contact with his leg no matter what. He can't fight gravity. So when you see that happen, it's like, okay, I understand you're not supposed to go low, but he's not making that conscious decision. He's tumbling towards the turf.
Yeah, I don't think he was going for the legs or the hip area. It just happened to be that's where he was, and physics took over, and you're not going to stop that.
And that was just a very unfortunate, and for Auburn especially, very frustrating to see in the moment.
Yeah, another big thing was in kick returns too. Rashawn Pleasant, the transfer from Tulane, five kick returns for 85 yards for an average of 17 yards per kick return. You know, that's not anything to sneeze over.
No, I mean, it is
not. That's a big time. And then, of course, McPherson was 100% on his kicks. His longest was 43. He had, obviously, the extra points and the two made field goals. So, you know, on paper, it put them side by side. You could flip a coin.
Yeah.
It kind of was a coin flip.
And they played as good of a game as they could. We already stressed that. But then Alabama, if I had to give them credit, dare I say, for anything, it would be they went for it on fourth down when they could have easily gotten a chip shot field goal to take a late lead. That is the biggest compliment you can pay Auburn, because they're sitting there thinking, we need to do whatever we can to get out of this game. That was a gutsy call, and to their credit, it paid off.
Yeah. You know, and we talked about this last week before this game, was Alabama went into this game with everything to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn went into this game with nothing to lose. You know, our head coach question was still unanswered. You know, the kids were playing for each other. The effort was awesome. It was a night game at Jordan-Hare. I mean, all the stars were in alignment for another miracle at Jordan-Hare. And we just came up a little bit short, but that's been kind of the story for us for this whole season, with the exception of the Kentucky game. That's the only game I look at out of all the games we played this year.
That's completely inexcusable.
That there's just no way to answer that performance. There's just – you can't put a number on or a grade on that's complimentary in any way.
I'm right there with you, because we do. We look at your losses, and we see, okay, you gave Bama a scare. That's why Bama was so desperate to get out of the game, because they knew it was going to be a tight one. They knew you were fighting with your all, but they also knew, you know, you had given Oklahoma trouble. You had given Texas A&M trouble. You had done all of this, and the Kentucky game is the outlier there, where not only did you get held to just a field goal at home, but it was to Kentucky, who at the time they started to get some momentum, like against Florida late in the year, but at the time they had looked terrible. I think the only game after the Auburn one where they looked as bad as they were was Louisville, 41-0. I mean, it was just a terrible season for the Wildcats, and that's how they do you and Jordan Hare? Come on now.
Yeah, we just laid a total egg. I mean, we've already beat that horse more than once, but that's the only game out of this season where I feel like defensively we didn't play well. Offensively, we absolutely stunk the place up. And, you know, that was kind of the last nail in the coffin for Hugh Freeze. Mm-hmm. Even though they waited another week or two, I think when they finally decided to make that decision, and, of course, we've talked about that too, I was never in favor of cutting your coach loose with games left.
Yeah.
But I think that one and the way things were still looking, it looked like a rudderless ship. You know, it was like a battleship. We had all these skills and all these big-time players and the ability to inflict, you know, damage on them defensively and offensively. We just had no way to steer it. Mm-hmm. And that's coaching and that's scheme. And, you know, it's proven itself. DJ Durkin, even though we went 2-1 under him, it was much better offensively.
Without
much,
a doubt.
Much better. So, mm-hmm. You know, that tells me that the skill was there. The players were there. All the things were in place for us to have a good season the way we expected to at the beginning of the year. It was just rudderless. We only picked a handful of games to find our direction.
Yeah, and that's very it's very upsetting when you see, it's one thing to lose, but when you see the potential, that makes it cut a little bit deeper. You were talking about the coaching situation. That's very significant. With it being 10:19, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return, I want to talk about this Alex Gulish, however you say his name. I want to talk about that hire because it was one that I think neither you nor me, Bill, expected. So we'll get into some details on that, what makes him a good hire, what makes him questionable, if there's anything, right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show, War Eagle Weekly, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. We're a third-generation restaurant dedicated to providing authentic Western-style steakhouse fare and heartfelt hospitality. Whether craving a cooked-to-perfection steak, fresh seafood, or a classic cocktail, every bite tells a story of tradition, passion, and dedication. And football fans, come in game day Saturdays in your gear and receive 10% off. Auburn fans, wear your gear any day and get 10% off. Coach and Four Steakhouse, open Wednesday through Saturdays at 7445 Pine Forest Road, across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
DeWitt D. Clark is a licensed attorney that specializes in practice areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage, lien foreclosures, probate litigation, and a lot more. DeWitt has been selected 3 times as a rising star by Super Lawyers, a distinction only 2.5% of all eligible attorneys receive, plus a member of the All Sports Association. Need legal advice? Contact DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, 850-863-4064, or dclark@asglegal.com.
Get ready, Alabama fans, for the Roll Tide Radio Show, Friday mornings from 10 till 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Catch up on the latest Crimson Tide updates, game analysis, and upcoming matchups. Time to talk some football. Alabama football, the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show, every Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Brought to you by Cantomat Ace Hardware and Scenic Ace Hardware next to Apple Market. Right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m. and 99.1 FM. Roll Tide!
Hey, fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last-second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football, it's a pepper thing.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available, designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. This is a relief program that credit card companies would rather you not know about, as it ends your debt nightmare and and saves you lots of money. Consumers owing at least $10,000 in credit card debt or personal loans can now take advantage of this debt relief as the cost of living skyrockets. Debt Relief Advocates has established a relief hotline for you to call to learn what debt reduction you may qualify for, so don't wait. For this free information, call the Relief Hotline at 800-606-8737. 800-606-8737. 800-606-8737.
Saturday, ESPN Pensacola presents the SEC Championship. One of the biggest games of the college football season. The Alabama Crimson Tide. Are taking on the Georgia Bulldogs. Saturday, starting at 2:30 for Alabama and Georgia in the SEC Championship, presented in part by Barrett Jewelers on ESPN Pensacola.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays 11 till 2 on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
All sports, all the time.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find this episode of War Eagle Weekly, all previous ones, all upcoming ones, on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com, also on the ESPN Pensacola Facebook page. Always sure to promote the episodes there once they air. This show brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse. They're on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flag Speedway. Wear your football gear in on game day Saturdays, any team, and get 10% off. And Auburn fans, come in with your gear on any day, get that same 10% discount. DeWitt D. Clark, attorney at law, selected three times as a rising star, specializing in areas of real estate, state, business litigation, mortgage, foreclosures, probate litigation, and more. And Sandpiper Services, that's a handyman company ready to tackle your projects from plumbing or electrical to ceiling fan installs, sink, bathtub installs, painting, drywall, even punch lists for real estate deals. Trusted, local, and insured. That is Sandpiper Services. You can find them on Facebook. Bill, I want to send it your way here because circling back to Coach and Four, they've got a holiday-related option going on for some people, don't they?
Absolutely. They're scheduling and setting up appointments, I guess, for lack of a better word, for company parties, Christmas parties. If you want to schedule an event there, give them a call and talk to Bill or Rachel. They'll be happy to go over what's already been scheduled and work around your schedule if they can and get you in. Great place to have a corporate event.
Absolutely. That's the voice of Bill Clark. I'm Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, you acted like you were going to say something else. Did I cut you off?
Well, I was going to say Sandpiper Services.
Yes.
The owner of Sandpiper Services, Steve Worth, is he's planning on making an appearance on the program today. So as soon as he gets here, we'll open the door to him and get him on, let him tell you a little bit about himself and about his connection with Auburn. And he's obviously one of my sponsors for this program, so I'm happy to open the door to him and let him speak his mind. I want to hear his opinion.
Of course. We are always welcoming to any of our sponsors if they wish to come on. We've done that with some other shows in the past, and War Eagle Weekly is no exception to that rule. That is for darn sure. All right, Bill, when we left off, we kind of hinted at the era to come for Auburn football with Alex Galesh.
Yeah, a week ago today, it was a big question mark. And then I heard last Friday, about midday, that the guy that I thought was going to be our next head coach, Summerall, was instead going to go to Florida, and I kind of understand how that happened. I think as a fan base, we tended to jump a little too deep in that pond, even though there was nothing in writing yet. It looked like an obvious deal that was going to happen. The sources that I have kind of suggested that the deal breaker was, Cohen wanted to keep DJ Durkin on as the defensive coordinator, which I 100% agree with.
Why wouldn't you agree?
And if not make him the head coach, definitely keep him on as the defensive coordinator. But the deal breaker for the Summerall deal was Summerall wanted total control, and they were pretty much going to give him total control with the exception of keeping DJ Durkin. So if that was a deal breaker, okay, that's a deal breaker. The silver lining is the guy we have, which none of us were talking about a week ago, has a huge upside. Mm-hmm. And he's only been on the campus 4 days, 5 days.
Not long at all.
And he's already making a huge impact in flipping commitments, bringing marquee players that signed with him at USF. He's bringing them to Auburn. Obviously, that means that players really like him and really want to play for him. The big question mark is, in my mind, is how hard is it going to be for him to retain the skill and the talent that we already have?
Right.
For me, the big ones are Atkins on defense, which I think keeping DJ is going to kind of help that pretty much settle itself out. I don't think Xavier wants to go play anywhere else as long as he can still play in that scheme that DJ does, because it gives him the opportunity to be just the most aggressive guy on the field, and he likes that.
He knows he's getting spotlight. Yeah. Yes,
Keldrick Falk, and I think if Xavier stays, then Keldrick will stay, because they're kind of bookends. You know, they feed off each other. When the team runs away from one, they run into the other. So. You know, I think defensively, I think we're going to be okay as far as keeping the marquee players and keeping the recruits that we already had signed or committed.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, National Signing Day is what, Sunday? Or started already?
It started already, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
For some schools, it started already. The big question mark is going to be, well, Horatio Fields, we brought him in through the portal. He ended up being medically redshirted because he was injured, and we've got God, I can't think. I'm not thinking straight right now, but Deuce Knight and Cam Coleman are the two that we really need to do whatever we got to do to keep them on the planes.
Dynamic duo, right?
And I think it's going to come down to if one of them says, yes, I'm staying, the other one is going to stay with him because they want to play together. Those two guys, I think, have a chemistry, and we don't want to mess that chemistry up.
Right.
So, you know, I'm looking for if those things stay in place, keeping those skilled players in, you know, it's all uphill. You know, we got a huge upside. The ceiling is high. You know, it's just how far are we going to go with it? But you look at the record that this coach brings. You know, he was at USF for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The 3 years prior to his arrival there, their record was 1-8, 2-10, 1-11. Then the 3 years he was there, it was 7-6, 7-6, 9-3. So, you know, he has experience taking a program that's got, you know, either misfiring on their weapons or have no weapons and bring some weapons in and make a program that functions.
Right.
So I like that. I think that's going to work in our favor. That's the huge silver lining to this sign, you know, bringing him on as head coach, even though none of us had ever really talked about him before.
He came out of nowhere for me.
He did. He came out of nowhere. And one of the things I really like, and I saw it on one of the YouTube videos I watch, the first time him and his son walked onto Pat Dye Field and looked around, the look on especially his son's face was like, oh, my God, this is so much bigger than anything I've ever seen before. You know, so the arena that he's bringing his program to is a much bigger arena, obviously a much bigger fan base. And NIL money. He's going to have a whole lot more NIL money to work around as far as retention of these players and bringing in new players.
Yes, it's always a question of will you be able to translate at a place like Auburn coming from USF, because it is a different breed. I get that. And also, it's a matter of you're looking at the ability to win and out-recruit guys like LSU, Alabama, instead of someone like maybe a Tulane or a Memphis. And that's a different discussion as well. But at the same time, you've shown an ability to build a program from the ground up and do more with less. So I'm not really afraid of him having the resources to succeed at a place like Auburn. Now, Bill, you have someone to your left. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I sure do. Welcome aboard, Mr. Steve Worth.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Online and in real life, I go by Steve Austin Worth, so I feel very comfortable here, and y'all do such a great job, and it's good to finally meet you in person, Austin.
Right and, back at you, my friend.
Thank you. I'm just...
I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, this guy just walked in. Yeah.
We just watch a lot of football together, and especially Auburn football, and I just wanted to time it so that I didn't have to discuss Auburn versus some school of the Alabama-Mississippi border we don't normally talk about.
Yeah, that weird red team, yeah. You didn't want to talk about them.
Yeah, but
that Tuscaloosa A&M, isn't it?
Yeah, so, their shirts are everywhere at Walmart. Yeah, those guys.
Those guys. So, it was such a roller coaster of emotion. We thought if we beat them, we would be bowl eligible. Had a good idea, as you all have already discussed, who our next coach was going to be. But then we heard that he said no. And then we're like, oh, well, I guess we'll have our DJ as our coach, and that would be fantastic.
That's what I was expecting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then just like you said, out of nowhere, he comes in. My best friend's from high school is a Florida State fan, and he suggested him as a replacement for Florida State's coach. And I was like, I have not heard of this guy. I said, he's Russian. And I started thinking he's joking. There's a Russian football coach out there?
Yeah, he was born in Russia.
Yeah, great story. He played high school football, didn't even try to play college football. He went and became a defensive line coach in high school and has been coaching ever since. He knew he wanted to be a coach when he was in high school, and here he is being paid millions of dollars to coach in front of roughly 87,000 people in Auburn's lovely Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah, he brings he brings more to the table, in my opinion, with our fan base and with our recruiting gene pool, than Brian Harsin did. This, to me, this doesn't even resemble Brian Harsin. This is more akin to Gene Chizik. He's got experience in recruiting in this area. You know, Gene Chizik was our defensive coordinator and defensive coordinator for Texas before we picked him up as our head coach. Mm-hmm. So he already had experience in this arena. He already knew what he was getting himself into. And I think this coach is kind of in the same position. He has a better head coaching record than Gene Chizik did coming to Auburn. The ceiling's unlimited. The floor has actually moved up, is kind of the way I'm looking at it, you know, especially the performance of the last couple of seasons. It's an improvement. Mm-hmm. That's what we wanted. We wanted something that's going to give us hope that everything that happened badly this year is going to improve. And that I have that hope with this.
And when you look at Auburn in the SEC, there's a lot of fluctuation on the ceiling and the floors of teams well beyond the Tigers. I mean, Alabama, we never know what they're going to do these past couple seasons. Florida's been hot and cold. LSU has a coaching change of their own.
Ole Miss?
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one. Arkansas? That is completely uncertain. Arkansas hates their new guy. I've noticed that.
You know what? It's what a crazy year in the SEC for coaches. This is nuts.
Six new coaches this year. And you either sink or swim. With 16 teams in there, and Texas and Oklahoma are not in the bottom, you're going to have to compete, or else you're going to wind up down at the bottom with Mississippi State and Vanderbilt and – you know, the nice guy programs down there. if you don't wind up in being competitive, you just wake up and you're looking up instead of looking at your competitors eye to eye.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. You're laying on the ground and you're trying to find a way to get back up again. I don't put Vandy in that doormat position anymore. Not with what they have done with their program and their coaching staff. And what Pavia brought to the table only energizes them. I think they only get better from here.
They signed a new deal with Clark Lee. So
they were really happy with keeping him on board, and they didn't want him to be out in that cesspool of coaches that are looking for a job now. You know, they wanted to keep him on and bring him bring him back and keep him on for a long time.
And much respect to our traditional or annual opponent, Vanderbilt. The SEC thought they were doing us a favor since we have to play Georgia and Alabama every year. Thought, well, we'll let them play Vanderbilt. And we're like, have you heard of Pavia? Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to buy him a graduation gift.
I would have been happier if it would have been South Carolina or Kentucky. Yes. You know, even though we laid an egg in the Kentucky game, I would, the puff cake. There really isn't a puff cake in the conference anymore. I mean, Mississippi State has up and down years. Kentucky has up and down years. South Carolina's had some really good years back when they had the old ball coach as their head coach. You know, they were, if they're coached, they're going to play well. So right. it really doesn't matter what the team is or what their history is now. It's all about, you know, do they have the right person there to put a program together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Arkansas is a sleeping giant. We know what kind of money could come out of Arkansas with Mr. Walton and his family and Mr. Tyson and their business.
Well, that's just it. The NIL money, that's going to be the difference maker in you know, how they build their teams and their programs. And I don't think any team in the SEC is suffering in the NIL department.
No.
No.
But at the same time, Austin, if you could make this radio station reach out to Baldwin County, we would love to hear from our friend and Auburn alumni who comes from Baldwin County, who's the CEO of a little company called Apple.
Oh, that little place, yeah.
He might have some pocket change that would come in handy.
Yeah, that'll help with UWF's NIL. No, when it comes to the SEC, because we've got to go to break here, it's 10:38. When it comes to the SEC, there is a lot to really think about when it comes to the seasons upcoming with guys like Florida and Arkansas being at the bottom of the conference. And we saw Florida beat Texas, go toe-to-toe with Georgia and Ole Miss. We've seen Arkansas scare Ole Miss and scare, I believe it was, who was it? They also, I think, gave Tennessee some trouble. So we're seeing guys, even at the bottom of the barrel right now, come swinging for the top. So this is a good place for Auburn to be in kind of a transitional period because a lot of other teams are in that exact same boat. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services.
DeWitt D. Clark is a licensed attorney that specializes in practice areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage, lien foreclosures, probate litigation, and a lot more. DeWitt has been selected 3 times as a rising star by Super Lawyers, a distinction only 2.5% of all eligible attorneys receive, plus a member of the All Sports Association. Need legal advice? Contact DeWitt D. Clark, attorney at law, 850-863-4064, or dclark@asglegal.com.
I'm Steve Austin Wirth, owner of Sandpiper Services, a local handyman company ready to tackle your jobs. We've served many in the local area for over 10 years. Have projects like fixtures, electrical, or plumbing? No problem. Ceiling fans, sink, or bathtub installs? Sure. Plus painting, drywall, wood rot, even punch lists for real estate transactions. We specialize in in-and-out projects and won't tie up your home or your wallet. Trusted, local, insured, Sandpiper Services. Call me at 850-255-1110 or find us on Facebook.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few if any fees, and federally insured by NCUA.
10:33, home invasion, 3 detained.
Description.
Mouse, female, spreading disease, contaminating food.
Copy that.
Termite, male, property damage.
Go ahead.
Stinging insect, male, triggered allergic reaction, major health risk.
Pests like mice, cockroaches, termites, and stinging insects pose real health and property risks. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. That's PESTworld.org.
A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Some people just know you can save money on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check if they're going for it on fourth down. Before going to the concession stand.
Yeah, give me 3 hot dogs, 2 jumbo fries.
Touchdown, baby! What?
Hey, buddy, you want cheese with those?
Yeah, checking first is smart.
No.
So check Allstate first and see what you could save. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Potential savings vary, including based on how you buy. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Most people in radio commercials talk really fast.
but we made this one for RV owners. Progressive knows they like the slower pace of RV life, like this commercial. And they know Progressive will protect their RV at a fair price with discounts. Now here comes the fast part. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Share your thoughts about sports
and actually have a voice
with the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. Mornings from 9 until Clinton and Friends on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or the absolutely free ESPN Pensacola mobile app. This show brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always, joined by Steve Austin Worth from Sandpiper Services. Steve, I'm going to send it your way here just for a moment because I want you to just, it's like the first day of school, right? Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what Sandpiper Services is all about, and what your tie is to Auburn.
Yes, I started this company not too long ago, but I've been doing handyman work for a long time. Previously, I was a United Methodist pastor and did a lot of work with Habitat for Humanity, and that's where I would get some aggression out, work on Saturdays. Back then, if you worked 8 straight Saturdays, you could complete a house. So I could see a house built from the ground up and learned along the way. I was raised by a single mom, so I learned a lot of stuff by trial and error. I was born and raised in Idaho Falls, Idaho, but moved here when I was 14, and I'm a proud Gulf Breeze High School graduate. So I've been around for a while. I graduated the same year that a gentleman named Emmett Smith graduated from Escambia High School. We actually played basketball against each other. When Escambia was beating Gulf Breeze by 30, we both got to play.
Wow.
Just a quick story. We actually played each other the day that he had a press conference to announce that he was going to Florida instead of Auburn. And I was joking with him as we were shooting free throws and stuff, saying if you went to Auburn, you'd win a national championship. If you went to Auburn, you'd win the Heisman Trophy. If you went to Auburn, you would have a shot at being the number one draft pick. And it came time in our game for me to set a pick on him. And next thing I know, I'm looking up at the rafters, and he's laughing, got that great smile. That was my Emmett Smith interaction. But I went on to a little college that is no longer Birmingham Southern College, and then spent almost every weekend in Auburn at the football games. My mom's an Auburn graduate, and I went to graduate school there and got a master's degree at Auburn. And while I was there, got involved with the Methodist campus ministry, felt called to ministry, worked for a few years as a handyman in Atlanta, and then went to Emory University and got my degree there, and was a Methodist pastor for 10 years. It was a great time. And then when my time doing that was over, I became a handyman and been doing that ever since.
Excellent. So we got some local background. We got a lot of Auburn ties, and we've got just an all around good guy from what I can hear. This is my first time meeting you in person. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, I can tell you with absolute certainty, a lot of the people in the Auburn Club here would probably call me animated.
Steve, that doesn't sound like
Steve is probably the second most animated.
I say passionate.
Yeah.
No, I'm just talking about, you know, you can't sit down while the game's on.
You're pacing,
you're watching the game.
I'm one of those people.
We're alike in that arena. Yeah. You know, we can't sit down and sit still and watch Auburn play.
I come by it honestly. My mom's the same way. And, you know, back to when I was a pastor, I was single and realized, you know, I like to cuss and I like to drink and I like to have sex, and it wasn't really going with the thing. And soon after I left the ministry, I got married not too long after, but yeah, the games just bring it out of me. I just get so fired up. Last night's game was exciting. I had a hard time going to sleep after that. It's just, it's a passion. Try not to think of it as an addiction. It's a passion.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, we can quit anytime we want. We'll go ahead and talk about some of these trending issues here very quickly because it's already 10:46. Time flies when you're having fun here. So we'll talk about the Lane Kiffin situation at LSU. I want to get y'all's thoughts on that because we knew it could happen, but this was about as tough of a break from Ole Miss as he could have possibly had. I mean, what do y'all think for his legacy and for Ole Miss's playoff hopes here?
Oh, it was a total surprise to me. I would have never predicted this.
To leave,
and
like
that's tongue in cheek. Yeah. yeah, absolutely. This was the surprise that everybody was not surprised by. Mm-hmm. The only surprise was maybe the contract, the figures in the contract was, you know, but you know, he was, I did not see him going to Florida. I don't know that that was ever really a serious possibility. It was always LSU.
I thought he was going to Florida.
Oh,
I thought
he'd
go down there and recruit all the players. That was kind of a nightmare situation for me.
I thought he was going to go to Florida until LSU opened up. I think Brian Kelly getting canned so early kind of shocked some people, and that's what changed his trajectory a bit. And Ole Miss, they just need to realize, and this is going to sound mean, but it's true, you're not an Ole Miss, or you're not an LSU, excuse me. You'll never be an LSU.
Or a Florida.
Yeah, no, you'll never be an LSU, a Florida, a Georgia, a Bama. You're never going to be those jobs if you're Ole Miss. And it hurts because they know that they have what it takes to succeed, clearly. But they're sitting here saying, well, why would you leave LSU for us? It's different in several ways. Ole Miss is a good program. LSU is a great program. So that was the main thing that Ole Miss needed to learn, especially from, of all people, their head coach. That's poetic. Mm.
Yeah, now it's just a matter of keeping that ship afloat, you know. He built something there, and now whoever inherits it has got to keep it, at least at the level that it's at now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their expectations have been raised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like us when we won the national title in 2010, you know, and then went to the title game again in 13. It's our expectations now are there. We're not just going to settle for an occasional SEC championship or an occasional 8-4 season.
Once you know you can win, you want to win all the time.
We've had a taste of the national title, and we've had a taste of the national title game twice, and it tasted really, really, really good.
I went to the game in Scottsdale, Arizona, and then when we went in 2013, I actually thought, you know, I don't have to go because we'll be back. Gus Malzahn will be here, and we will continue just to
the new norm.
Yes, yes. And, you know, can we go back to Ole Miss's norm where, you know, they never lost a party? It was just a great place to go and have fun and look at the scenery. And, you know, love you, Ole Miss. Much respect. But somebody's got to be in the bottom half, and I'm afraid it's y'all.
Yeah, it's a deep pool. You got to go somewhere. What do you think is the kind of outlook for Ole Miss in the playoffs? I mean, do you think they're going to be able to compete?
Well, I really hope that what's left of the coaching staff that's still there doesn't let these kids get demoralized over what happened.
Right.
That's where it's all going to play out is do the kids still play with the same enthusiasm that they had during the regular season? And with the same outlook, because now they know they're competitive, they know they're good, they know they earned it, they belong there, the kids earned it.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they can keep that kind of focus on that program with these kids that are still there, then I think they're going to do well in the playoffs. I mean, they're going to be a super competitive team, but if they let the coaching situation just creep in the back of their mind and plant that little seed and it starts sprouting and growing, then, you know, it's just hard to maintain that high performance level that they've been at all year.
Right.
And time is on their side in the short term because they don't have to play in the SEC championship game.
Right.
They, you know, will be in the playoffs, and they can regroup from there. You know, every one of their players has probably at least pondered leaving. You know, am I going to get chosen to go to LSU with Coach Kiffin? You know, who else was interested in me? Does the new coach like me? So hopefully they can get those negative thoughts, those distractions out of their mind and go forward and represent the SEC well. You know, I won't be cheering for any of the other teams that wear red, but I might be pulling for us against the world, Ole Miss.
Yeah, they've definitely become a more likable story now that Lane's done them how he has.
Hey, and I'm not going to say anything bad about Lane Kiffin because he's young. And he's going to coach all y'all's teams before it's over.
Yeah, he'll jump anywhere. 10:51, we'll take one last quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return, we'll look at some of these conference title games going on. A couple of them don't really tip the scale. Kennesaw State, Jacksonville State, we're not going to lose sleep over a game like that, but we do have some high-ranking matchups that are playoff significant. We'll get our predictions on those right here on War Eagle Weekly, which is brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services.
I'm Steve Austin Worth, the owner of Sandpiper Services, a local handyman company ready to tackle your jobs. We've served many in the local area for over 10 years. Have projects like fixtures, electrical, or plumbing? No problem. Ceiling fans, sink, or bathtub installs? Sure. Plus painting, drywall, wood rot, even punch lists for real estate transactions. We specialize in in-and-out projects and won't tie up your home or your wallet. Trusted, local, insured. Sandpiper Services. Call me at 850-255-1110 or find us on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. We're a third-generation restaurant dedicated to providing authentic Western-style steakhouse fare and heartfelt hospitality. Whether craving a cooked-to-perfection steak, fresh seafood, or a classic cocktail, every bite tells a story of tradition, passion, and dedication. And football fans, come in game day Saturdays in your gear and receive 10% off. Auburn fans, wear your gear any day and get 10% off. Coach and Four Steakhouse, open Wednesday through Saturdays at 7445 Pine Forest Road, across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
Clinton Yates here, and the holidays are upon us, full of gatherings, toasts, and plenty of cheer. And if you're like me, you want every moment to shine. That's why I head to Total Wine & More, where you'll find it all at the lowest prices, from rich whiskeys and smooth tequilas to festive liqueurs and elegant champagnes. And if you're not sure what to grab, their guides will help you find bottles that impress. You'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football
on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Sports, life, and laughter. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman. Mornings 5 to 9 on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always, joined by Steve Austin Worth of Sandpiper Services. Guys, we've got just a few really hard-hitting conference title games that we need to touch on here that could dictate how our playoff bracket looks come next Thursday. We're going to start with Friday night, number 24, North Texas, at number 22 Lane for the American Conference title. The winner of this game is guaranteed, I believe, to make the playoff. Who do y'all have?
I like Tulane.
I would have chosen Tulane if they hadn't lost their coach.
I think they're going to retain him, though. They're going to retain Summerall for the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, I think he's still going to coach out for the rest of the year. So
yeah, this isn't a Lane Kiffin situation, thank God.
And I like the fact that Tulane, you know, used to be a charter member of the SEC, so there's a little, you know, added connection there. You know, I'm always going to root for an SEC team in a national title game, even if I have to hold my nose and look through blinders to do it. You know, it's just the conference – the advertisement that you see on TV, it just means more. Yes, the SEC just means more.
So got Tulane by association.
Just by the fact that they were a charter member of the SEC. And I like the program. I mean, they're obviously well coached. So,
yeah. Well, what about you, Steve? Are you going with Tulane or are you still thinking North Texas could have it?
I will stick with North Texas because, you know, God bless anyone who could study in New Orleans, but in Denton, Texas, you don't have a whole lot to do besides play football and maybe study. But, I'll take North Texas.
Yeah, football is second nature over in Denton or wherever it is
they play. I bet there's a lot of pickup trucks in North Texas.
Yeah, North Texas, a narrow road favorite, 2.5 point favorite heading into New Orleans. I'll take Tulane, and I'll take them to win probably just a few points. It's going to be a higher scoring game, I anticipate. Now on to Saturday, we got number 11 BYU, number 4 Texas Tech, winner. If BYU wins, they make the playoff. Texas Tech is in no matter what. This is make or break for BYU. A lot of people think they're a playoff snub right now in the rankings. Does BYU prove themselves? Get some redemption against the Red Raiders?
No. Texas Tech is going to win this game.
Vote of confidence. All right, Steve, what about you?
Agreed. I have a lifelong beef with BYU, but I'll definitely take the Red Raiders.
I know rematches can be tricky for a lot of teams, but Texas Tech is just head and shoulders above everyone in the Big 12. They've made that painfully obvious whenever they've been given the opportunity, so I'll take Tech to win big there. Georgia and Alabama, everything is looking Georgia's way, but I'm taking Alabama anyway because that's just how this series goes.
Well, I'm hoping for a 0-0 tie. But that's obviously not going to happen. I have got to pull for Georgia. I mean, I just have to. I couldn't live with myself if I didn't.
Yeah, we're old enough. We remember when Auburn Georgia was a friendly rivalry. Auburn's coach went to Georgia. Georgia's coach had gone to Auburn, and I still have some softer feelings towards Georgia. But can we have some people get disqualified for targeting, and maybe some people enter the portal at halftime.
a complete disaster class.
0-0 sounds very good.
All right. I'll take that answer this time around. Then we got number 2, Indiana. Number 1, Ohio State. Obviously, loser makes the bracket, so this game doesn't mean a ton. But Indiana's playing with a chip on their shoulder. I got Ohio State pulling away with this one. I got them by like 3 scores, man.
Well, you and I talked about this game before we went on the air. I like Indiana. And I see this being a close game. Maybe a 30-27 game.
Okay.
But I like Indiana. Like you say, they have a chip on their shoulder. Their coach has an attitude. They have a Heisman candidate quarterback. They have no resume that they have to live up to. Ohio State does. So I like Indiana in this game.
And what about you, Steve?
I think the Buckeyes are going to introduce Hoosiers to a big boy football. It may be a good learning experience for Indiana to go into the playoff bracket with a little bit of hurt feelings, a little humility. And, you know, Ohio State may get the big head like that mascot they have.
Yeah, like that Buckeye Brutus fella. All right, and then last game here, just a quick picker. Duke and Virginia, the committee's made it clear if Duke wins, they are not making the playoffs. If Virginia wins, obviously they will. What do y'all think? Does Virginia beat Duke again?
I'm going to go with yes, okay. Just because the history's there.
I think yes. Steve, how about you? You in on this train?
Yes. I will definitely. Duke is disappointed all season long.
Yeah, Duke, they just literally hot and cold. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll see you next week with an officially decided college football playoff bracket. War Eagle.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.